Hello and welcome to another exploring session looking at dialogues with me, your host Robert Crichton, and in our secret London location surrounded by cats is...
Liza Graham, rarely not surrounded by cats.
And we are continuing our third dialogue by John Fisher. This one is a dialogue concerning wisdom and will, who reason together thus. Now, I'm not sure about the opening of the text, whether this is a sort of prologue introductory bit or whether it is wisdom speaking. It could be wisdom, because it says, I think, wise things, and then there's will. Would you like to be wisdom? Would you like to be wisdom? I think you're suitably wise.
Well, thousands would disagree.
Well, you know, let's see how it goes. So if either rate, if you'll do the opening thing. We've already, let's say, we've done two of these dialogues already from the same author from around about the same time, about 1558. So written towards the end of Mary's reign or the beginning of Elizabeth's. More research needs to be done on that. Future Robert might cut in now and say some words about this particular text that I've got horribly, horribly wrong. But we don't know any more than that at this time.
Nope. That's it.
So, Liza, if you'd like to be either the prologue or wisdom, whichever this turns out to be, and see how we go.
To spend the time, honestly, a season, I think this to be a talk convenient, of will and wisdom a while to reason, and who may justly be called sapient. I think it meet, therefore, wisdom to define. Tully calleth it a knowledge or science of matters as well heavenly and divine as of human things in the order of prudence, so that perfectly to know God's will, that is, what of man God doth require, and the same in word and deed to fulfill, is the highest wisdom whereto man can aspire. Also, what pertaineth to comely order among men at all times to be used, and to keep the same in every border, is wisdom, of none to be refused. According hereto, a Christian poet certain pleasant verses in Latin doth write, which, if a while you will be quiet, as well as I can, I will recite. Sed fortasse aliquis querit sapientia quid sit, nil aliud certe est nisi prima scientia, per quam mens pura et nulla mortali, pondere pressa libera terrenis affectibus atria celi, scandit et ethera cum diis versatur in aule. Some perchance will ask, what is sapience? Nothing else but a science principle, whereby a mind spotted with no incongruence, but free from affections terrestrial, unto the heavenly...
Oh, you skipped a line.
Some perchance will ask, what is sapience? Nothing else but a science principle, whereby a mind spotted with no incongruence, neither pressed with any sin capital, but free from affections terrestrial, unto the heavenly palaces doth ascend and is conversant with spirits celestial. In heaven, I mean, where God is without end. Many noble sentences be in that place, right worthy to be talked of, indeed. But because they require more time and space, I leave them, and will to other things proceed. As in few persons is this sapience, so in all men living is there a will, which through stubborn disobedience many one both soul and body doth spill.
Somewhat of will here by your patience, I must say, according to learning, and as you have praised sapience, so of will, let me say my meaning.
Will playeth the wanton boy now and then. When will without wit revelleth alone, he undoeth many a willful man who would repent when the time is gone.
Will is an appetite given to goodness, according to prudent Aristotle's mind. In the first book of rhetorics he doth express the same sentence, or much of that kind. And the same poet which you did rehearse, a poet, no forsooth, rather a divine, right nobly speaketh of a will, of will in a verse, as though will doth not to evil incline, sunque voluntatis bona plura et Quantor horum principia. No, principia. Principia. Existunt prudentia judicia atque grandia quae agritur fortis discrimina vertis net non quae frenis nos temperate atque mondestos efficiet et cetera. There be many good things longing to will, and chiefly for prudence and justice, strength, that noble virtue, great things to fulfil, temperance, who restraineth sensual vice. These four be called virtues cardinal, for of them all other virtues depend, of the which virtues will is the original. Therefore, will I may justly commend.
I say still that wit is a wit?
Yeah, I think it's wit, yeah.
I say still that wit is a crafty boy. Fain would he his willful folly excuse. He hath played... So it must be Will, mustn't it? That Will is a crafty boy. He hath played even now a subtle toy, for a learned sentence he did abuse. Aristotle, in the place of you, alleged... Whereas you say, he doth will define, is of you trivicated and abridged, contrary to the philosopher's doctrine. Will is an appetite of goodness, saith he, conjunct or rather subject to reason. I say, when will to reason doth agree, that all things be done well and in season. But I speak only of that sturdy will which to obey reason doth proudly disdain, then both itself it doth destroy and spill, and putteth many another to pain. In that will which to reason doth consent is all kind of good virtues contained. Then it doth nothing whereof it should repent, for all vices thereby are restrained.
We should just briefly pause there and take in this particular dialogue. It's doing similar things to the idleness dialogue, I think, that we did previously. It's interesting. It sort of starts off as a TED talk with an interlocutor, so it's a bit like Lucidus and Dubius in that sense as well. It doesn't quite feel like... I mean, they have sort of characteristics, but it's slightly harder to pass how they function in the same way away from each other. I think that bit could be wit in the sense that that wit is a crafty boy. I mean, you know,
you mentioned will wit in your
speech? But you could just be saying that wit over there is a crafty boy. It could be more that you're talking that capital W might be misleading rather than the double T.
Possible.
This is a very rough text, by the way, for the listeners at home. So we're passing textual questions as to whether the text is right, as much as what it means as well. So I think that is wisdom talking at the beginning. We can say that, I think, reasonably safely. This is my TED talk. Here are some sources, and again, it's doing that source thing that. Yeah. Idleness was doing of going, well, you should use your... Now, you should quote it properly. This bit's from here, and this bit's this, and this is what this means.
Yes, and at the end of that initial TED Talk, Will sort of... He's the guy who puts his hand up and is like, what about me?
Yeah, what about the stuff I want to talk about? And, the same poet which you did rehearse, a poet, no forsooth, rather a divine. There's a little bit of... thing. And of course we've got plays on the question of wisdom and will and these things, so I'm wondering if there's a connection there. We also have plays on the four cardinal virtues as well, so it's quite interesting for me for that pops up, because that's very much what I'm in the middle of working on at time of recording. It will all be being released by the time you're listening to this, probably. So there's sort of dancing around various thoughts. Any other thoughts?
None whatsoever.
No, it's a harder one to dance with. We were enjoying dancing with Ada and Agnes or whatever it was. Whereas this one's a bit more... They're not real people. They're allegorical figures discussing things.
Wisdom keeps calling Will a crafty boy.
Yeah. So there is a sort of relationship there, isn't
there's
there?
There's a humanization, but we don't know wisdom's nature yet.
No. I think this is where we were. I moved the computer screen, so I think that's where you got to, isn't it? Their vices thereby restrained?
Yes.
Me think you make little difference betwixt will and sensuality. I mean, will is equal with sapience, yea, and higher in authority. For what could sapience or reason do, or any other power of the mind, except will would consent thereunto, who hath power both to lease and to bind? Only in will is free liberty. When wisdom and reason have devised, will hath this power for a surety. Let all that they have practised. Example. Reason and wisdom do teach. Perform this, they cannot which they preach, except will thereto shall liberty give.
The pride of this stubborn will breaketh out, and by little and little doth the self declare. Will is proud, will is sturdy and stout, and yet miserable being left bare. Every man through will alone is made a wretch. But the more wretched, as Augustine doth publish, when the same will doth itself stretch so far that he may his desire accomplish, and also it followeth that through evil will not every man a wretch is made, but also the more wretched when he may fulfill that evil whereto evil will doth persuade. Thus he meaneth, the more power will hath to do evil, the more wretched it is. The more power will hath reason to scathe, the more bond, the more doth amiss.
You have talked of evil will a long season. I pray you, what do you call the same evil will?
That will which is not subject to reason, but seeketh his sensual rage to fulfill. Now, to make answer to your comparison, where you prefer will before reason, indeed will and his willful garrison compare with God, who from whom all goodness come. But in this point, wisdom doth will excel. Wisdom is alway good, and will sometime evil. Wisdom obeyeth God. Will sometime doth rebel. Wisdom of God is led, will sometime of the devil. And let not will rejoice in his wicked power, for the more power he hath to commit evil, the more servile, the more vile day and hour, and the more draweth he unto the devil.
To your sentence I cannot much disagree. In few words you have showed the bondage of will. Now I pray you declare how it may be free, and I will humbly hark unto your skill.
When will to wisdom willingly doth incline, now what wisdom is I declared before, then will not of merits but of grace divine is enfranchised and made free evermore. Recte igitur quidam liber solus sapiens est dixere, hic etenim solus ratione magistras castigat motus animi sensumque rebellem. Certain learned men, forsooth, said rightly, a wise man only hath a free will, for a wise man through Lady Reason aptly chastiseth evil lusts and the flesh rebelling still. Wreck this order, and then the will is free. With Solomon ask of God his sapience, then to reason's will alway agree, and hold sensuality in obedience. He that can observe purely these four lines, not only a virtuous man I do him call, but also I compare him to a divine's, and to the highest learned of them all.
I have ministered communication somewhat contrary to verify that by your, contrary to verity, that by your witty declaration I might be brought out of ambiguity. For by reasoning and argument, matters of controversy and in doubt are opened, made plain and evident, and the verity searched and bolted out. Now, to God humble thanks let us render for his wonderful work in mankind, who our misery so greatly did tender that he sent his son, his lost sheep, to find.
Say this before dinner or supper. glory, honor, and praise to God the Father, for all his benefits given unto us, who by his Spirit vouchsafe us to gather into the true faith of his Son Christ Jesus. We beseech that one God in Trinity, to bless his creatures for us prepared, render we thanks with all humility for his kindness to us in all things declared. He grant us his gifts so meanly to take, that our bodies may be in subjection, wherewith such a lively sacrifice we may make, as before him may be in acception.
We keep our tongues from talk of vanity, from backbiting, slandering, or lying. At our table let there be such humility as becometh his people both living and dying. In God's name now take your refection. We have ended our talk for this season. After your meal I must make an objection concerning the highest part. Question mark? Part? That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Concerning the highest, this other is par. Concerning the highest par called reason. Your pare?
I think part is fine, but I think we're on a stage direction here. After dinner or supper, say this. And I think that say this before dinner or supper is also a stage direction.
Oh, I'm not so sure. I think that's him just saying that's what you should do. Because after your meal, he's talking about the... It's an example he's giving, isn't it?
Well, I think this is a dialogue that's meant to continue after dinner. That's meant to be spoken before dinner and continue after.
Because he's going to say this before dinner or supper, glory...
Because
he makes reference to it. We have ended our talk for this season. After your meal, I must make an objection.
Yes. So the next part is said after dinner. I think that's a stage direction.
That might be a stage direction, but I don't think the earlier one is.
I think it is, because he's talking about he's praising Jesus for sending, God sending his son to find his lost sheep.
Yeah, but he
And then wisdom continues with the praise to Jesus, whereas for wisdom to say, oh, you have to say this before you eat, seems like they're talking past each other and not responding. That's how it seems to me.
We shall see. We shall see. We don't always agree. This is fine. We will come to the truth at some point.
We will.
Truth is a three-edged sword.
I'm just saying, one of us is wisdom here.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, I am Will, so I'm just going to be willful on this point and say I'm right. the truth,
which is obviously not a thing you do at any other time.
Absolutely not. I'm not suggesting for a second that I was very careful in what we were passing out here. While we are paused on this point, it is more collegiate as well, isn't it? We were talking about that there is conflict, but it's not like Will here is a vice. He is taking on some of your points here.
Well, yeah. I mean, Will can be, as wisdom says, Will can be good or Will can be evil. Mm. Will can be corrupted or not.
Whereas wisdom is absolute.
Well, that's what wisdom says about itself.
Yes. I think there is a point. You can't, if you are wise, you can't really be anything other than wise. I mean,
well,
surely.
I think we're probably about to have... I'd be very surprised if Will didn't bring up doctrinal arguments and how people use their wisdom to, in fact, do things that are devilish. If I were Will, that would be my comeback, and perhaps it will be.
Mm. Okay, possibly after a stage direction or not, after dinner or supper, say this.
Approach, my friend, I pray you, and come near. Go to now, propugn your objection, and in the truth show you a direction.
You said before that Will is then free. Are we getting to free will? Questions of free will. Oh, okay, this is interesting. Oh, good.
Free Willy.
Yeah. You said before that will is then free when it is subject to reason and sapience. This sentence to reason doth not agree. There is no freedom, whereas is obedience.
If will hath any liberty at all, the most is reason and wisdom to obey. The freedom of will itself is but small when it refuseth reason to be his stay. To have license to do evil is no liberty, but the most vile bondage that ever was. Now reason through grace hath this property to cause will in the way of truth to pass. He that doth sin is servant unto sin. Oh, what servitude is like unto this! None other advantage thereby do they win but hell, where Satan the devil damned is. Contrariwise, there is no liberty like the subjection unto virtue. For that erecteth the soul into felicity, if unto the end we do it ensue. Behold, here obedience is liberty, and liberty, if so I may it name, is vile bondage and utter servility, which bringeth many a man to shame.
So, yes, there is freedom in constraint.
This very much reminds me of the way in which the word freedom is used in the United States of America over the past few years, that they're saying, if you are, can there be any freedom where there is obedience? And wisdom says, yes, because when you are in obedience to your own reason and your own knowledge, then your will is directed rightly, and that is where the greatest freedom is found. And Will is basically going, but my freedom!
Yeah. We didn't really get to a free will question, actually. That was slightly, a different direction we went in. But, that question of subjecting ourselves to some kind of higher power, in this sense.
Because if you reject reason and knowledge, then all you have is the freedom to do evil, which is not freedom at all, says wisdom.
Yes. Let us see where else it goes. You have well satisfied my mind, but whereas you talked somewhat of reason, I would know what reason is in kind, whom you say will must obey in season.
Est autem ratio lumen quoddam atque animi vis, qua curum a recto secernimus, atque ab honesto, turpe oculos quae solet mentis quando quae vocari, reason is a certain light and strength of the mind, whereby we discern the crooked from the right, the filthy from the honest, thereby we do find, therefore in the mind it is named the light. Lo, here is this great clerk's definition, whereby what reason is you may learn. Also, reason is a perfect erudition, by the which good from evil we discern. Now, reason, as the philosopher saith, evermore approacheth unto the beast, a directory of evermore approacheth unto the best, a directory of life and handmaid of faith, which loveth virtue and doth vice detest.
Then I see, if will followeth reason, it shall consent to all that is honest. But sensuality worketh much treason, and doth both reason and will greatly molest. But where, as in your definition aforesaid, of the mind also you made mention, this term mind ought to be weighed, wherein let us also know your intention.
Mens igitur sol est anime sunt sidera sensus. The mind to the soul is a sun bright, which illumineth the same with her clear shine. By the mind the soul seeth to go right, and needeth not out of the way to decline. As for the senses are as the divine stars, which give a shine, but not to work by. Yea, against reason they be obstacles and bars, the motions of reason to stop or deny. Senses alone do the brute beasts beautify, but reason and senses both do enorn mankind. Yet reason excelleth senses verily, as a man alive excelleth a man dead and blind. Reason is the more noble part, indeed, for to heavenly things the mind it doth carry. Senses hold man down on the earth to feed, and thereby man from beasts do not much vary.
You will put me in memory of a sentence which the great clerk Lactantius doth write. Would to God I had the wit and science, as he meant it, the same purely to recite. that high artificer, God, our parent dear, hath given to man sense, reason, and sapience, that man to be made of him it might appear. For God is sense, reason, wisdom, and intelligence. Of all the creatures that ever God did make, in man he showed most his omnipotency. Alas, why did Adam his precept forsake? For through sin he lost his innocency. Wisdom, will, reason, mind be here declared. If you will speak a word or two of sense, which God in man hath also prepared, I will no more trouble you, but depart hence.
Some learned men call sense a power passive, that is, suffering objects variable. Sensuality is an appetite sensitive, to the outward feeling very delectable. But senses are divided of philosophers into senses external and internal. Avicenna, Thomas, and their followers speak also of senses intellectual. Touching the senses external, there be five, that is, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling. Both men and beasts, as many as be alive, have these five commonly, without differing. These are as windows to intelligence, for by them all things enter into understanding, of the which things reason and sapience appoint an order after their determining. We might minister hereof more matter than to the auditors should be profitable. Of many things to utter much clatter is loss of time, and nothing laudable.
There is not a word spoken this season, but thereof some fruit I have gathered. The knowledge I have not farther to reason, which I trust is right well considered. To God, if it will please you, thanks to give, which with his benefits doth us feed. We shall do but our duty, and I believe that all our acts the better we shall speed.
Thanks to the one Father, our Creator. Thanks to the Jesus Christ, the way and verity. Thanks to the one Spirit, our Consolator.
Ah, it's thee. It's thee. Thanks to thee, O Father.
Thanks to thee, O Father, our Creator. Thanks to thee, Jesus Christ, the way and verity. Thanks to thee, O Spirit, our Consolator. Thanks to thee, one blessed God in Trinity.
Amen. Compiled by John Fisher, student in Oxford.
Imprinted at London, at Smithfield, at the sign of the Mitre, by John Tisdale, for William Pickering, dwelling at St. Magnus Corner. In the year of our Lord God...
1558.
The 5th day of March.
Oh, the 5th of March. Ah. So is that technically still... Is that 1557 or 15... Is it old calendar or new calendar?
Well... I don't know. If it's old style, the new year won't be till March 25th. Lady Day.
So, but if they
it
knew that...
It might be 1559.
Yeah, or 1559, yes. That's an interesting question, which doesn't matter... Well, it does matter a bit.
It does.
Because one would be under the reign of Mary and one would be under the reign of Elizabeth.
Yes.
And that's quite an important distinction. But yeah, so I'm going to go with it's technically... Yeah... Are 1559, but they're 1558. Anyway, let us go back to the text, of which it's not technically that much shorter or longer than any of the other ones we've done, but it felt shorter.
Yes, because nothing gets resolved.
No.
They basically say, well, we shouldn't talk more about these things. That's all the time we have, folks.
Well, broadly speaking, wit does concede most points to wisdom.
He does, and this is.
But he leaves the door open.
He does. I mean, this is the happy ending that Will is agrees to be guided by wisdom, and so they're not at odds. They're working in harmony. Which we've previously established is the greatest freedom.
Yeah, and there is a question now in my mind, because I can't remember off the top of my head how explicitly similar this would be to any of the Wit and Wisdom, Wit and Science variants, the variation of three plays that we have, whether there's explicit lifting from that kind of material or from other material that we may or may not have. You know.
Well, wit is a different thing from will. Like, wit is raw intelligence that's just seeking material, whereas science is a state of learnedness.
Yes, but I can't remember if one of those variations has a will as its variant.
Maybe it does.
Yes, so that's the question. That's basically something to bear in mind when we go over those plays again, is to bear this text in mind as to whether this text is lifting off that kind of debate, whether there's a wider debate. It's nice they go through all the 5 senses. You know, it's nice to know that we share them with the beasts, apparently. We share, but we're different from the beasts.
Yes.
These are as intelligent, windows to intelligence. I liked that line.
Yes.
The five senses, windows to intelligence. Yes, there's a few nice turns of phrase. I mean, I think you're right about the stage direction point, by the way. I think you're right. They're having dinner, and so we have a sort of time jump. We have, you know, they've set, they've had, you know. It'd make an interesting short film, actually, this one, with that. So you could set up a little dinner party, that links nicely to the previous exemplars from Greece.
Yes, and you could have, you know, you could have various characters having dinner. You could have, you know, it could be collegiate and there could be students, some of which would be into it and some of whom would be passing notes or playing games or just drinking. Or it could be, you know, a noble family's dinner that had requested an edifying dialogue and various family members could be edified and various family members could not be. So, vice, virtue, vice, will, wisdom.
John Fisher generally, we've sort of enjoyed these texts. They've not been as dramatic, but there's been some interesting stuff. I think they're good dialogues. They're fairly snappily written. I'm not sitting here going, ooh, clunky or anything. There's some really nice bits and pieces in there.
Yes.
From within his standpoint of where to go. I mean, obviously.
I mean, I think most of the dialogues, the best thing about the dialogues is that the two voices actually respond to each other and the conversation actually builds. You know, we've seen a lot of dialogues, especially religious dialogues, where two people essentially deliver sermons past each other.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember very much about Free Will, but Free Will was just basically sermonizing at each other at great length. We only did the first act of Free Will.
That was
just torturous.
Copious.
So, I mean, this is where we're trying to sort of pass that sort of axis of what is drama and what isn't drama. And this is one that gets debated by lists of plays quite a lot. So, you know, this question of is this text dramatic, or is it just a series of precepts? And so far, I feel this is you know, it's more in the direction of being a literary dialogue. But it's performable. I don't think it's as play-y as some of the others, though. I don't think. I would necessarily do this before an audience, unless it's a very specific audience.
As a dinner entertainment, is it to be read aloud? Is it to be acted in some way? You know, this could be experimented with. This could be determined.
I think, in a sense, this one has a potential because it's got this dinner setting, so it can be broken up. And it has a little flow to it, and they're all quite short. I mean, they're only going to last. They're about 2,000 to 3,000 words, so they're going to last about half an hour, probably less, maybe more. Some trims might be made. Sometimes the Latin is very important because they're explicitly quoting something, but sometimes they're something that they will later explain. So for an audience, we might trim some of that back and give some. But it depends on who the audience is. And
that is true.
It's going to be a very small audience. This is the kind of thing you're only looking to sell 30 tickets for, which you can do. And it's a fun exercise. It is not going to change the world. And I think this is a point to remember. This is all side hustle from our central dramatic process. But it's really helpful in understanding the context of all the other plays that we do.
It is.
And that actually what we think of as, say, Tudor interludes, which we know go back to medieval times because of our work on, you know, Lucidus and Dubius and Occupation and Idleness, even though it sort of appears to die out during the reign of Elizabeth, it survives in print, it survives in elements of Lord Mayor shows and in masks. It continues. It just isn't the primary thrust of, you know, dramatic theatre.
Yes, it survives, but there are also points of commonality. Mm. You know, there are proverbs, there are intertexts, there are dramatic devices that show up in both.
Mm. So, we're going to continue doing these little things. At the moment, I'm struggling to find nice, short, pithy ones like this. I'm going to have to start doing longer sessions or split sessions on future ones. But we're going to try and keep this going over the, you know, the while. And so we will return. So all that remains to thank Liza and her wonderful cats in our secret London base.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye.